Now, do you have page Kuf Nun Zayin? Thank you so much.
Yes.
Yeah, some extras, okay. We have here on Kuf Yud Zayin, Kuf Nun Zayin, sorry, we have a Mata Yonah son. And that's on the right column. In the second paragraph, he says, we have a problem in the case of Shmuel, of Nat Bar Nat. And that was the question that we were dealing with. According to the Acherim in the Ramban, if you cook fish in the same pot with basar, you're allowed to eat that fish with milchix. And the question that we asked is, if this be the case, then what you're saying is that even a tam rishon, which means that the original tam of the basar went directly into the meat, nevertheless it still remains hetera bala, and you're allowed to cook the fish. With milchix, correct? According to that daya of the Acherim that we mentioned a few times in the past, quoted by the Ramban. Now, according to the Acherim, what we're saying is that the tam that goes from the fish, I'm sorry, from the meat into the fish, and then from the fish into the kutach, is called the tam sheni. And that tam sheni itself is mutter. So again, just let's keep in mind the cheshbon. The tam of the basa went into the dogim, and when you cook the dogim with the kutach, now the tam of the dogim, the tam of the basa that's being carried by the dogim is now going to penetrate into the kutach. And yet everything is mutter. Why? Because that's called the tam sheni. Well, if that be the case, why does the Gemara establish that you're not allowed to cook milchix in a fleshik kapat? What happened? The fleshiks, when the time of the basa went into the kedera, from the kedera it goes into the tavshil, and that's already a tam sheni. Mm-hmm. Do you follow? The tavshil is cheese, but the basar went into the keli, and from the keli into the cheese. So what difference does it make if he cooks chalav in what we call a kedera abisarit? It's always going to be tam sheni. He says the following. When do the Acherim and the Ramban allow tam sheni? That's only dafka im misarev b'machal acher. Sheyesh lo tam upleita mitzad atzmo. V'lachein niklash hatam shel habasar. So where did the tam of the basar go? To where did it enter? It entered into the dogim. Correct? Mm-hmm. When it enters into the dogim, it's no longer the original tam. It's again tam ki ikar, but it could already be classified as a tam kolsh, as a weaker tam. Do you follow what I mean? It's not the original tam of the basar. So in misarev b'machal acher, now what happens is you take the tam, which is already kolush, as a result of the fact that it went from the basar into the dogim, and now you penetrate into the chalav, which has its own natural tam. And that's called yeshlo tam mitzad atzmo. Do you follow? So that the tam of the basa, which is already a tam kolish according to the Acherim of the Ramban, when it enters into another tafshil, which has its own tam, that's called tam mitzad atzmo. So then, according to the Acherim and the Ramban, we're going to apply the principle that a tam kolush is somehow lost within the foodstuff that has its own tam. You know, there's, we're viewing this almost like a battleground. You know, there's a tug of war here. You know, you have the dugim that are carrying the tam basar, and now you have the chalav that are carrying the tam chalav. If the tam of the basar is not going directly from the basar into the chalav, but rather it's going through the intermediary of the dugim, then at the very moment that the dugim were bolea the tam of basar, it already lowered the level of tam to a tam kolush. And once it's a tam kolush, now it faces a kind of confrontation with a different tam in the tavshil. Just one second. Where did I stop? I'm in the wrong paragraph. Sorry. Oh. Ach, but in contrast, in Nivla Bekedera, the Ketera is considered something neutral. And it is really considered like it's carrying the original tam. It's like, again, it's like a, it's hard to describe it in physical terms, but if you can visualize it as if the Kedera is just holding on to the tam. The Ein La Tam Mishal Atzma is Nechshav L'Tam Rishon. There's no element here of Tam Kolosh. U'mashe Nivla Min HaKedera. And now when he cooks milchiks in this fleshik of pot, and the milchiks is now going to be impacted by the tam that's bolua and the kedera, nechshav ke'ilu nivla min habasar, v'nechshav ketam rishon. So for the first time, I have to tell you, I've never encountered this kind of distinction between be'en and kedera. If ever I've encountered such a distinction, it was always because the kedera is more kal, right, than the be'en. The Mate Yonasan is like turning everything upside down. He's saying that if you talk about Tam Rishon going into Tam Sheni, and you want to know whether that Tam Rishon is Niklash, and therefore won't be able to impact on the Tam Sheni, so that when the Tom of the boss that went into the Dugim is now being transferred over to the Kutach, here's where Be'en is worse than a Kedera. I'm sorry. Here's where Be'en is better than a Kedera, and a Kedera is worse than Be'en. This is the paradox. Why? Because if you have a Be'en here, in this case you have Dugim, the Dugim play a role as a neutralizing factor in reducing the Tom of the Bossar. So the Tam Basar going into the Dugim now is already a Tam Kolosh, because the Dugim has its own Tam. But if you were to take the Tam of the Basar and penetrate it into something that doesn't have its own Tam, then that Tam remains the Tam Rishon and now can penetrate without being Kolosh into the cheese that you're going to cook in this pot. Meaning, I didn't say it was a pot, I left out the main punchline here. But in the case where you have something neutral that doesn't have its own tam, that's receiving the tam of basar and transmitting that tam, i.e. in the case of a kedera, then the kedera now will just simply transfer that original tam, which hasn't been diluted by any confrontation with another tam, with another be'en, into the chalav that you're cooking now in this fleshy kapat.
So it's more severe.
The kedera is more severe.
Yeah, well.
But that's a pellet to me. You know, it's normally we say that when a tam goes into a ban, that's called tam ki'ikar. You know, that a tam goes into a kedera, and therefore we're going to be more machmir in a kedera. Again, I don't know, this whole thing might be drabanan, I don't know. But nevertheless, so I was just wondering, and maybe this is the footnote, I'm not sure, what happens if it's an old kedera? Let's just see. One second. I don't know, I'm going to underline those words. I'm not sure. What do you think, Rabbi Osai? What does the Mata Yonasan have in mind here? Yeah, but now you're touching, Lenny, on a very sensitive topic, which I covered in the past, that really, even after 24 hours, the Tom itself, if you recall, is still is still
it's up to the same level.
Right. Remember, we said that the problem with a Kedera Sheni Bas Yoma is the impact that it has, and it's poking the top. All right, I don't want to go over that, but okay, Rabbi. So now, do you have page Kuf Nun Ches?
That's a tremendous Kiddush to say that there's a war going on between the Basar and the Dogim.
Right.
And that the Dogim overpowers the Basar that's
or at least reduces
there,
the reduces, right, diminishes
Kodesh.
It.
That's wild.
Well, that, I think, Rabbi, you can't fault the Mati Yonason for that, because the Acherim in the Ramban
says that?
Well, again, I don't know if they use that language, but we'd have to go through it inside. But certainly, if you're going to tell me that Shmuel's not bar nat is mutter, even in the case where he cooks meat and fish together, that's the sheet of the Acherim. You know, you're going to have to say that somehow the fish somehow has an impact on the Tam and Basa. Because again, otherwise, if the fish is just an intermediary to bring the Tam Basa into the Kutach, how can you be mad at such a thing?
Certainly, because the fish has its own Tam.
And that's what the Mati Yonason says, that once the fish has its own Tam, it transforms the Tam of the Basa into a Tam Kolish.
Right, it's not a good platform for the Tam Basa.
And the Tam Kolish cannot impact on another and that has its own Tam. You know? It's an interesting idea. That's why I wanted to share it with you. Yeah.
I mean, it has the ability to neutralize.
Again, I don't want to use the word neutralize, I want to use the word to diminish, right? Because it's a Tam Kolish. Now,
water?
This, yeah.
What about water, which has no tam, and it's always in Bishul, and whatever touches it, or whatever it touches, it becomes like it, as opposed to
it's
fish.
Chameleon, kind of. Yeah, it takes on the form of whatever.
Right, it's
whatever.
A chameleon.
Chameleon, I mean.
But
to say, yeah.
The other foodstuffs have their own taste. And therefore, they don't take in the way a neutral substance does.
So Yosef is pointing out that maybe the Mati Yonason would make a distinction not only between a Kedera and a Be'en, but even with water and a Be'en, because to the same extent that a Kedera is considered kind of neutral, it just... So just 1 second. In order to answer that question, let's just review what we had in Iran about a week ago, or I don't know how long ago. Let me just see if I can find it here, and see if Yosef, we can attach your ha'ara to the Iran. Just 1 sec. Oh, let's see. Yeah, the Iran. Now, this I gave out. It's on page Resh Mem Zayin in Shiurei. Shirei Arav. Now, I'm not expecting you to pull this out of your archive, but you'll remember what I'll just arouse your memory for a moment. The Ran wants to know whether you're allowed to take a fleishika dish or pot and place it into a milcha kapat. There's nothing in the milcha kapat other than water. And here's where the Ramban says, well, the fleishiks went into the walls of the pot, and from the walls of the pot they're going into the water, and still everything is mutter. And then the walls, and then the chalav went into the walls of the pot, and everything's mutter, and therefore it's a case of not bar nat. And the Ramban was mati. The Ran says it's osur. Now the Ran gives two explanations why it's osur. I'm interested in the first explanation, because maybe that would shed a light on this Mati Yonason. He says the following. I'm just going to read to you the Ran's language as it's quoted here in the Shirei Rav. He says, Tam ha-basar v'tam ha-cholav mis'arvim shelo be'emtza'us ha-mayim u'memele choshiv tam sheni be'isur. Klomar, this is Rav Salvechik's twist on the Ran, shamayim enom nechshovim ke'emtza'i. In other words, we're not going to say, according to Ron's first explanation, again, we're not going into the Ron's second explanation. This, right now for us, there's only one explanation of the Ron. We're not going to say that the Tom of Basar from the Kli goes into the Mayim, and the Tom of Cholav from the Milch Kederi goes into the Mayim, and then there's going to be a mixture of two Tomim in the Mayim, because then the Ramban might be right, that when these two Tomim mix, each Tom is considered a Tom Sheni Beheter, and therefore everything should be Mutter. Says the Ron, no. I will not view the Mayim as an emtsa'i.
To do emtsa'i towards what end?
Towards a collection of two different tamim, in which the mayim are bolim, two different tamim, and then they spit forth that tamim back into the two kederos. In other words, the Ron is going to assume that the mayim, if I could use this term, the mayim is just the ambiance. It's just facilitating the direct taroves of two tamim of basar and chalav. Right? In other words, we could have viewed the tamim as if there's a blia in the mayim of both these tamim. So on the one hand, the mayim is being bolea the tam of basar from the walls of this kli, and at the same time it's being bolea the chalav, the tam chalav from the walls of the kli. And it could be, again, that's something that we have to understand, but this would lead us to the conclusion that everything is mutter, because it's a nesinas tam sheni with another nesinas tam sheni, and everything is mutter. Again, I'm trying to avoid the major issue here. The major issue is a different issue. But it could be that the Ron in his first explanation is saying the following. That when do we apply not bar not? That's when you have the fish that receives a tam of basar, and you have the chalav that receives a tam of chalav. And in each case there is an anti-force, so to speak, that is going to be maklish the tam, so that when these two tamim gather together, when you cook the fish with milchiks, it's already a tam pogum. Not pogum, I don't want to use the word pogum, because that'll give you a different impression. I mean a tam kolosh. And again, we're going to have a discussion now about tam kolosh on this page, Kuf Nun Ches. But rather, says the Ron, what's happening is that the mayim is completely, if I can use the term, kiman de lesa domi. The mayim is just an ambiance within which the tam of the basar and the tam of the chalav are mixing together. Again, to read this line one more time, hamayim einam nechshavim kem tza'i, meaning that the mayim are bolea, both tamim, basar and chalav, and then that mixture is going to generate what we call nosein tam bar nosein tam lehetera. But rather, the mayim is just a meeting place, so to speak.
It's like the pots are touching each other, basically.
I don't know. I have to think about that, Rabbi. Give me a minute. But what I'm suggesting here is that the water is just a meeting place. What I mean by a meeting place, it's setting up a direct connection between the two tamim bluim that are now being niflat. You see, I have a pleitas tam basar and a teiflas, and he says misarev lekan ulkan betoch hamayim. Okay, that's the main point here. Betoch hamayim. It's not that the mayim are considered a force that would be bolea, therefore reduce the tam into a tam kolosh, but rather it's just in the mayim. That's where there's going to be a direct exchange of tam between the bas and the chalav. And perhaps we can add your point, Yosef, based on the on your expansion of the Mati Yonah's son, that mayim in and of itself is not like any sort of a be'en that has a tam of its own, and therefore the mayim is not be considered a bolea of the tam, and therefore once it's bolea of the tam, it becomes a tam kolosh. So it's bolea two different tamim, each one was a tam kolosh, and everything is het there. No. Says the Rav, that's not what goes on over here. and the mayim is totally neutral, so that the tamim now can meet in a direct way within the, I call it the ambiance, I don't know what word to use, but it's a tarovis of two tamim b'toch hamayim. That's the emphasis on the word b'toch hamayim. Okay, I got off a little bit on a tangent. So Rabbi, you wanted to compare it to two kederas that are no-go suitsu? Do you want to go through that now? Or should we leave that for a little later? Let's leave that for a little later. Now I want you to take a look at this concept called a tam kolsh. Okay. He says the following. That what does Shmuel mean when he says not bar not is mutter? Why is not bar not mutter? He says because it's a tam kolosh. Ein bohem tam chazak shel basar. Kevon she'eno bo min ha-basar atzmo. Elu tam she'bo min ha-tam she'bekdera. Lefichach eino oser. Which means the following, that if the tam is not coming directly from the basar, but it's coming through the dogim, then that tam is a tam kolosh. Again, if we add the matayonason, we could say because the dogim has a tam of its own. But even without that, let's leave that out for the time being. And he quotes the Ra'ah, who says, Kevan de Atera the aklish, it's already been weakened, is therefore there's no tam basar at all. I mean, it sounds like the Ra'ah is saying that a tam kolosh is not considered a tam that could generate an isur. Because when the Torah had in mind tam ki ikar, it had in mind a real, full-fledged, genuine tam. So first, he begins with one explanation. I'm not sure exactly to whom he attributes this explanation, but he says the following. B'chol makom bo mispashel dover v'nosein tam, ein yotzei kol atam. So whenever you cook something, then we assume that the tam is already one step lower. In other words, you cook potatoes and noodles. So right, the tam of the potatoes in the noodles is not the same as the tam of the potatoes in the potatoes. Lachen kasher abasar nosan tam b'kedera. In other words, now we're going from the basar into the kedera. What tam of basar does the kedera have within it? Well, once again, it's like the tam of the potatoes in the noodles. It's not
less than the basar itself.
It's less than the basar itself. Uli achar mikan shatam yotzi min hakedera min hakara lidogim. Once again, we're going to say that the tam that was balua, which is less than the original tam of basar, is now partially going to penetrate into the dogim, and part of it is left in the kedera. You won't even get the full-fledged, incomplete tam of basar that's balua in the kedera. So the dogim is already getting a third level, so to speak, of tam basar. The kedera got the second level of tam basar because that's not like the basar itself, and now the dogim are receiving an even lower level of the tam basar because they're not even getting the full tam basar of the b'liya and the kalim. Nimtza eifo on the top left column sheyesh b'dogim rak tam muad shel basar. So this is really interesting because I think it's a little bit of a new twist. We've been assuming that by the time the tam gets to the cholav, to the kutach, there's already, you know, a friction or a competition here between the kutach and the tam basar that's in the dogim. I don't think we have to go that far. If you accept this approach, let's look at the Tam Basar in the Dagim. Well, number one, the Tam Basar in the Kedera was a secondary Tam, wasn't the full-fledged Tam. Could you imagine how it happens when the Tam of the Kedera, the Tam Basar in the Kedera, goes into the Dagim? So I don't have to calculate the friction or the confrontation here between the Cholav and the Dagim, which in the Ramban's language I think it's called the Tam Shlishi. Forget about that whole discussion. We could already analyze the status of the Tam Basar in the Dagim as already a twofold Tam Kolosh. It became a Tam Kolosh in a sense, an incomplete Tam, when it went into the Kedera, and even the Tam of the Kedera never really fully penetrated into the Dagim. So that's one way of understanding Shmuel. Now he approaches it from a different perspective. He says, Kasher yotze tam mitavshel echad l'sheni, hatavshel asheni shu makabel, hamakabel, Maklish umakalkel esatam arishon. This sounds a little bit more like the Ramban, and like perhaps the Matayonason that we discussed before. That it all depends upon where the tam is going from. It's going from one tavshil to a second tavshil. Now again, if the first tavshil had meat in it, and the second tafshil, obviously, kutach has milchiks in it, that could be a serious problem. But we're saying that the tafshil itself, meaning the tafshil that received the basar, the tam basar, which is the tafshil dogim, was not cooked together with basar. Vatafshil asheni, shehu ha-makabel, is maklish umakalkas atam arishon. So when the tam of the basar goes from the kedera into the dagim, that itself would recognize or shall we say would confirm the status of the tam as the tam of basar. But now you're going to take this tavshil and you're going to cook it with another tavshil. And that other tavshil has a different tam. The first tam was weakened by the first tavshil, meaning by the dagim. So the tam basar is weakened by the tavshil, which is called dagim. Mm-hmm. Now we have a second tavshil which has its own tam, which we call kutach. So to the same extent that we say that the tavshil that received the basar, just one second, kasher yotze tam mitavshil echad l'sheni, hatavshil asheni shumakabel hamakabel maklish sheish betam tavshil asheni tam achir v'tam arishish v'sarim v'sagibo harehu muklish. Oh, he does say harehu muklish. I accused myself of inventing this. I didn't invent him. He wrote it here. He says that the tam of the basar in the dagim is already a tam muklash. V'kasha liachin kan hushuv yotze l'tavshil shlishi. So one second, how is this different from the first pshat? First pshat, we said that even when he cooks meat in the pot, and the pot becomes saturated with the tam of basar, but nevertheless, it's not the whole complete tam of basar. So some of the tam of basar is left behind. What's he saying now? So it's important that we get down to three shittas, because if you notice, he's got a whole list of nafkaminas. So let's get down to three shittas. How's the second shita different than the first? The first may be emphasis on the fact that whenever you cook something and it receives tam, it's not the original full-fledged tam. It already goes down a madriga. And now it goes down from one level of the basar into the level of the kedera, and from the kedera it goes down into another level, into the dagim. Meaning it never is the complete original tam. Now he's saying that the question is not the way we said it in the first pshat, that you can never get out the tam, right? Because whenever you cook something, you get 80% of the tam, then not 100% of the tam. But rather, the tavshil itself is pogam the tam, or maklish the tam. What does that mean? That he cooks fish in a fleshika pot, and now the tavshil has the tam basar in it. However, the tavshil itself is maklish that tam. Not because the tam is one level less than the original. No. The tam here is a full-fledged tam.
Which one are you in now? Aleph, Bet, or
Bet? I'm up to Bet.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. So that we're not saying that that when the tam is passed on, it goes down one level, and some of the tam remains behind. I'll grant you the entire tam. But I think here's, to my mind, this is very close to the Mati Yonason Sfar, I think, that the Tavshil itself, since it has a whole different tam, is now Mekalkel, it confronts, as an adversary, the tam that's being introduced by the Kedera itself. Or, yeah, that's in the first round when he cooks fish in a fleshika pot. That's what I think he's saying. Let's see. I just want to see if the words bear me out. He says, Kasher yotze tam mitavshil echad l'sheni, a tavshil asheni hu amakabel maklish amakabel as a tam arishon. Oh, look at the next five words. He says, Sharei yesh mitavshil tam sheni tam acher. He is using the logic of the Matayona's son. Hatama rishon shemis arev umisane umismazeg bo hareu muklosh. Right, because the tavshil has a different tam. So that different tam of the tavshil is going to be maklish, the original tam. Vekasha, now he introduces that tavshil into a third tavshil. So you have the first tavshil in which you cooked meat in the pot. Now you have the second tavshil cooking the pot, cooking the fish in this pot. And at that point, we have a koach hamaklish. Why? Because the fish has its own tam. Now he cooks the fish in a milchika concoction, which is called tavshil shlishi. And once again, the milchix has another tam. Is nishar tam kolush umekulkal? Kigon tam basa shenichlas kedera, harezem is kalkel mitama kedera. Then he cooks fish in that kedera, and now we have a very weak tam basa. He calls it tam basa muklosh miod. Again, I would submit to you that this is the Mata Yonason Sfarah. Let's go on to number 3. Kol tam sha'over mitavshel echad l'mokom acher, hareu muklosh umiskalkel mi'etzem ha'ma'var. So it's not the existence of another tavshel that we're worried about, because that tavshel has its own tam. Or it's not the inability of transmitting the original tam into its secondary component, but rather it's a reflection of the fact that the tavshil has to be relocated. It has to be transferred. And when a tam is over, mitavshil echel l'makom acher, that itself creates a weakness of the tam.
Because it's going into something else that has a tam of its own?
No.
Or just the transfer itself?
Yeah, that's just the fact that you have to take, you have to lift up the tam from here and put it down here. Well, on the way, you're going to lose some of the impact of the tam. Right. So that he calls over mimakom lemakom acher. It's really interesting because, you know, this reminds me of various sugyas and shas when we talk about over mimakom lemakom. Do you see those words? Me'etzem ha'mavar. Those are the key words here. V'zeh shayach gam im kol hatam over. Even if I would grant you, against the first interpretation, that the entire tam, in its original form, is now going into whatever it goes into. So we're not going to say that it's watered down by the tam of the tavshil into which it was received, but we call it koma mavar maklish esatam. V'im over shtepiyomim harezem muklash pa'mayim v'eno tam choshuv. So again, if it's only one mavar, as he calls it, although there's some element of muklash atam through the mavar itself, but that would not be enough of a mitigating circumstance. But if you have a second mavar, then the tam is so weak that it's not considered a tam at all. Nafkemina, number one, bimin bimino, kigon, cholav, osur shenivla bekli. I guess you have cholav from beim tmeya. Is the acher mikan yotza l'toch cholav hamuter v'yesh bo kidei nesinas tam. So why would that be an afkemina? So let's just fast forward to number two for a minute. Kasher abosar eino misvashel im ochel acher o bekara el misarev bo. In other words, according to the second explanation, then it's the fact that it went through another bishul process. But let's say there was no subsequent bishul process. There was just a mixture of the two. Both in ze kol tam abosa meurav bitaroves v'im din nosin tabar nosin hu mishum she'eno yotze kol atam ze shaykh rak bebishul ach lo bitaroves. So this nafkamin is pretty clear. He's saying that there was no separate bishul. According to the second approach, it's because of that confrontation through a second bishul that the tam goes down to madriga and it becomes a tam kolush. But here there was no active bishul.
Is it the fact that it's Bitar Rovet that causes it to go down a level?
Again, according to the bays, where are you up to? Again, there are two bases here, so let's not get lost here. There's bays, which is one of the major pillars, and there's bays, which is a second afkemina. Right. So in this second afkemina, we're saying that according to the second approach, to define this halacha of not bar not, it's the bishul that lowers, that's mekalkel the tam and makes it into a tam kolush. That's not so in this particular case that we're dealing with, because there was no second bishul, there was just a taroves. But let's just see Gimel. The ofen bo yotza hatam l'toch mayim. Ooh, this could be interesting. Ulam acher mikan Irev Mayim Elu B'Mayim Acherim. Reil Alon Shadas Hagra V'Primigodim V'Bechai Gavna Nikla Shatam Asheni Pamayim.
Shnei Pamim.
Right, Shnei Pamim. V'Zelo Shayach Im Nomar Shedin Nat Barnat Hu Mishum Sheini Yotzei Kol Atam. So what are we going to say in this case where the tam goes into mayim and from the mayim it goes into a tavshil? So if you're going to tell me that it's because of the second bishul that weakens it, then here again we'd apply not bar not. But he says to say that there's a double eklishus over here is lo shayach im nomar shedin nat bar nat hu mishum she'ein yotzei kol atam. Right, we said that this was the first approach, correct? That when you mix two things and one gives tam to the other, it's not pshat that the entire tam left. The ofen bo. We're going to have to stop for Mincha, so let's see if we can just finish Gimel, and then we'll come back to Aleph Blina. The Ofen Bo Yotza Tam L'Toch Mayim Le'achem Mikan Irev Mayim Elu Mayim Acherim Tevachai Gavna Niklash Tam Sheni Pa'amayim or Pa'amim V'zelo Shach Im Nomar Shedin Nat Pranan Mishum Sheni Yotzi Kol Atam Sherei B'Pam Ashniya Kol Amayim Nisarvu B'Mayim. So you cannot approach the first approach cannot be relevant. V'chein lo shayach lomar shezem ishum mizug hatamim, which was the second approach. Sharei shnei apa'om nis'ar v'tam echad shel mayim. It's always the same tam of mayim. V'hu muvan rak im etzem ha'mavar Maklish umekalkelis is a inyan. So if we take the third approach, this is called the mavar. Remember we said over mimakom lemakom. So here also it's over mimakom lemakom. But according to the first two approaches, this would not qualify as not bar not.
The problem is that here you have water and water, so you can't say that it got the kulkal from the tam of something else because the water doesn't have tam.
Right. So he's saying if it's mizugat tam, you're not going to say it's mizugat tam because it's always the same tam in the water. And certainly you can't talk about a tavshil that's mekalkal the tam, because why should we say such a thing that it becomes weak? But if we're going to say that you need this ma'avar mimakom lemakom, then he doesn't have it in this case. So let's make a note that we didn't finish the aleph here. So I'd like to just wrap this up tomorrow if we can. If anyone's interested, by the way, in Daf Yomi, or listening to recordings of Daf Yomi, I've been putting up Daf Yomi Shiru online. And if anyone wants to get together for a face-to-face Daf Yomi Shiru, let me know. And it could be an Iyun Daf Yomi Shir, it could be once a week, it could be... Just let me know. Okay then?